When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Hey guys, before we dive on into Chapter 3 of Prisoner Azkaban, live from Philadelphia, we wanted to let you know that we actually have more live shows on the horizon.
I know, we are just so absolutely excited. Tickets are on sale now for the West Coast tour that we are going to be doing at the end of September 2024.
Yes, in case you haven't heard yet, this September we are coming to the West Coast. We are going to Seattle, Portland, Sacramento, Berkeley, San Diego, and Los Angeles.
Yeah, we are so, it's going to be so much fun, guys. If you haven't been watching the other live shows that we've been doing, there's obviously one coming up right after we finish talking right now. It has been a total blast. You don't want to miss out. We are so excited to see you. Links to all of the tickets are available in the description down below.
Yep, go check it out, and we'll see you there.
Enjoy the episode.
Welcome, dear listeners. I'm Jonathan Carlin.
And I'm Benjamin Carlin.
And we invite you to join us through the Gryffindor, your one-way ticket to the enchanting world of Harry Potter. So grab your wands, dust off your broomsticks, and join us as we unlock the mysteries behind Prisoner of Azkaban, Chapter 3, The Night Bus, live from Philadelphia.
Let's hear it!
Philly! Oh the, my gosh.
The bartenders working here tonight are like, this is the nerdiest group of people we have ever had. It's like normally we've got comedians and bands and there's a whole group of people screaming about Harry Potter Chapter 3.
I know! Very exciting. Very exciting. I'm so excited for this particular chapter. I'm just excited to be here at all. Ben, the last time I was in Philadelphia, I was at a marketing conference, and the whole point was to learn how to, like, I worked at a concert venue.
Okay, yeah.
Maybe you guys have heard.
Yeah, bingo. Yeah.
And the whole thing was like, you're trying to learn and come up with new ideas to how to, like, sell more tickets to get a sellout crowd at your venue.
Yeah.
And so now to return to Philadelphia and to have a sellout crowd. It's pretty cool.
The hero returns.
Yeah, here we go. We've come back.
We've come back. We've done it.
I guess I learned something.
Apparently. Yeah, it worked. I really am so excited for this chapter. Probably one of my favorite videos that we ever made on the Super Carlin Brothers YouTube channel was the one about Stan Shunpike and the Knight Bus.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Do you guys remember that one?
Yeah.
Yes. Good times.
Good times.
Good times.
We'll get to Stan. We'll get to Stan for sure.
Yes.
There are so many... Like, I wouldn't have realized that you're right. There are so many videos we've made for Super Carlin Brothers that have come out of this particular chapter.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, it's definitely, in comparison to the Aunt Marge chapter, it is jam-packed with so many, like, vital little bits.
There
little
are. There's, like, big, like, little what-if moments in this one where it's like, well, everything could have been a lot different.
Yes. Yeah. Things could have changed if Harry hadn't accidentally called the night bus and Sirius could have just come out of the hedges and been like, hi, I'm your godfather. We can be best friends now.
I know. I didn't do it. It was this guy named Peter Pettigrew. He's with this family named the Weasleys. Oh, you know them. Your best friend. Did I mention I was your father's best friend?
And you've got a broom. Yeah. We can go there now.
Right now.
Right now.
But he's in Egypt, so.
Yeah, well, yeah. So maybe like in like 2 weeks.
We'll wait. We'll just hang out, you know.
We'll get there. Yeah.
They won't mind.
In due course.
In due course. That'd be so great. The Weasleys come home. Sirius is there. Pettigrew's like, oh no.
This is bad. Bad, bad, bad.
Bad, bad, bad. I'm out. I'm out.
Oh man.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So let's maybe just dive into the chapter here, shall we?
Let's do it.
All right. So first of all, we got to talk about the chapter art as ever, which I don't know if you guys can see. We got Harry kind of sitting on the night bus there with its, what, three beds. There's six beds per level. So despite being a triple decker bus, it's like an 18 person capacity.
Yeah. But I mean, the fares are pretty, you know, I mean, like coming up on a galleon worth of per ticket.
Per ticket, yeah.
Especially if you want that toothbrush.
You want that toothbrush.
Color of your choice.
Ben, nothing. I can't tell you how much I would not. If I got into like a cab, and the driver turns around and is like, "You want to buy a toothbrush?" I'd be like, "What?" You're like, "You can choose the color." No.
No, I think if he offered for me to choose the color, I'd be like, I'm sold.
Oh, do you have blue?
Yeah. I'm in.
I'm in.
I'll take the toothbrush. Why not? Strange taxi man.
Yeah. All right. What a side hustle.
Yeah.
All right. So to recap from the last chapter, Harry has just fled from the Dursleys after blowing up Aunt Marge. Thank goodness. Anger is still surging through him, and suddenly he decides, I think this is such a funny thought by Harry. He's like, a new emotion overtakes him, panic. Whichever way he looked at it, he'd never been in a worse fix. And I'm like, I don't know about that. Like, there was that whole basilisk situation.
Right, yeah. Quirrell and Voldemort. Voldemort the first time.
Voldemort the first time. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, I don't exactly know whether or
Aragog,
not.
Aragog.
Yeah, blowing up your Aunt Marge. You've seen worse.
You've seen worse.
Harry.
This isn't the worst fix you've been in, my man. But I guess in the moment, you might feel that way.
Sure.
That's all right. The worst of it was he says he's done serious magic, which, you know, debatable.
It is kind of debatable because, like, at this point in time, like, when Dobby does the snap with the pudding, it kind of seems like everything starts going wrong basically immediately.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the owls start coming in, like he's clearly in trouble. But this time he actually has not, he's performed lots of magic. I mean, obviously the inflation of Aunt Marge, but like he's not doing it intentionally.
Right,
so
not
like,
on purpose. No wand cast.
No wand cast, no incantations said aloud or anything like that. So
yeah. Like certainly even after you've been to Hogwarts, like you could like accidentally make stuff happen.
Yeah, also true. Right? Yeah. Like,
gotta be some forgiveness.
Exactly. And especially for like all the students who go home for the summer holidays, like this can't even be the only time. Like people are surely getting into arguments with their families and getting upset.
And
like accidental magic is ensuing. Yeah. So
I mean there are Aunt Marges. There's Aunt Marges in the wizarding world. There's Aunt Muriel.
Exactly.
There's Umbridge.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Ugh. Man, can you imagine if they were all sisters? The family reunions.
I know. Boy. They wouldn't make it out. So Harry is concerned that he's going to be arrested or just be outlawed from the wizarding world. And it's really cleverly done how it's like Harry is sitting here like, this is his like worst nightmare is being outlawed from the wizarding world. And he is like moments away from meeting Sirius Black, who's like, that's his reality.
Yeah.
You know, like Harry is about to be an outlaw. He's about to meet an outlaw. So it was like it's like building the empathy for Sirius in the moment.
It definitely is. And I feel like this book so far has been doing this a little bit where it's like mirroring situations a little bit. Like, you know, even with Marge again, like you've kind of got like the dogs that like Ripper that comes with her. And then Sirius's animagus form is a dog. And it's sort of like, it almost seems like it's trying to like build these like little barriers for you to bounce around off of and like decide where you really feel. Or like in chapter one, I think Uncle Vernon even makes the comment about how like Sirius Black in the news, the Muggle news, looks like a total runabout and not somebody that he approves of, which is basically like confirmation. Well, then he must not be such a bad guy.
Right, I know. If Uncle Vernon doesn't like him.
If Uncle Vernon doesn't like him.
Yeah, that should be the main tip off immediately that you're like, oh, he's probably a good guy.
He's probably good.
Yeah, we got it.
We don't need to worry about him.
Yep. Yep, 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 yep. yep.
But fortunately, Harry does have some materials with him. He has a little bit of gold. Thank goodness.
Which he doesn't understand that. He's like, I guess I have wizard gold, but what am I going to do with that? Muggles don't like gold.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you could spend that gold in some way.
So someone would take it off
someone
your hands.
Someone would take that gold off your hands, Harry. I think you could make it happen.
Yeah. Once again, we've got the situation where the top thing on Harry's mind is that just ever-present fear of expulsion, which just never really until... When do we lose that? Book 4? Does it finally go away?
I guess it seems by the time he knows the prophecy, he should really be... not worried about that.
Right. He's
the problem is, he probably gets that from... Well, you're right. After book 4, he's probably like, it's okay. And then Umbridge shows up, and it's like, oh, butts.
Oh, man.
Yeah. But here's the thing, is that, Harry spends so much time worrying about getting expelled, and then Umbridge shows up and does nothing but try to get him expelled and can't do it.
And can't do it. Yeah. So it's like, Harry, were you ever even at risk?
No.
At all? Nobody's going to let you go anywhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do like the fact that once he learns the prophecy, he's like, okay, well, education's out for me, but I can always cash in on this chosen one thing.
Exactly. So I'm pretty set.
This could work out.
Yeah. So Harry comes up with a quick plan. He's going to cast a spell on his trunk to make it feather light, which is like the kind of magic you never see him do ever. I'm like, can you do that?
Yeah. Is this just like a spell that's been like learned
that he just knows
that he's picked up on? Yeah, possibly.
Seems like he's really confident about doing that. But I like this line. It says he's about to begin his life as an outcast because it's kind of the same thing. Because you're right, it's like, again, mirroring with Sirius, where, like, Harry, in a way, has just, like fled the Dursleys. So, like, in his own way, he is, like, broken out of his own prison.
True.
You know?
Yeah, that's a really good point.
So they're sort of, like, just both broken out, which also then draws up a really funny, comparison between the Dursleys and the Dementors.
Yeah. Yeah, right? They both start with the letter D,
They're basically the guards at the prison.
They suck happiness right out of you.
They suck the happiness out of you. Yeah, they drain your magic. Yeah, they're basically the same, you know? Oh, the terrible Dursleys. Yeah. Goodness me. Let's see. Then he straightened up, started looking around once more.
The next big thing that I think is kind of interesting that's happening here is starting to kind of like clue us into... Because we don't always get this with Harry. Like, I think a lot of times when I was reading the book as a kid, I really wanted the moment to come where Harry just sort of becomes... really, really, really good. And you're just always
right.
Like, this kid, like, nobody's going to go up against him because he's going to wreck everybody and it's going to be great and awesome and perfect. But, like, realistically, like, it takes a while. Like, he has his big, momentous moments and obviously, like, especially by the time the DA rolls around, it's like, okay, this kid's got some skills. But there is a moment here where Harry basically is, like, just running on instinct where it says, a funny prickling on the back of his neck made Harry feel like he was being watched.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, that is just sort of, like, good, solid intuition that sets him up for, you know, what he's going to be doing for the rest of his life.
Right, he's just got, like, instincts like something's watching me.
Yes, yeah. It even says he sensed rather than heard it.
Yeah.
Someone or something was standing in the narrow gap between the garage and the fence behind him. Harry squinted at the black alleyway, which I think this is kind of funny because you're looking at the alleyway and what he's seeing is Sirius Black.
Right, the black alleyway.
The black alleyway, yeah. It's more of a title than a description. Yeah.
Yep. I like that. His sort of like sixth sense about like...
Yeah, like what's...
Yeah, like dark things being afoot or something being afoot. I guess not a dark thing. He's actually pretty safe.
Yes, yeah. Yes, of course. But then he does finally and officially cast a spell.
Yes, he finally uses his wand and casts Lumos. So at this point, now there's no excuses. It feels like the Ministry should be like, whoa, magic.
Magic. Yeah,
good.
And that's another one that's kind of interesting that's going to get mirrored later in Order of the Phoenix because this specific street, as long as we're talking about alleyways, that we're on is Magnolia Crescent. And I believe that this is the same area. It's like the alleyway between Magnolia Crescent and Wisteria Walk.
Well, also, is Magnolia Crescent the street they're on?
Is it not?
Yeah, I guess a low wall in Magnolia Crescent, or is that like the...
You know, that does make town. It sound like it's like an area.
Yeah, like the neighborhood.
I think it's a street.
You think it's a street?
Well,
you're probably right, because it says he's several streets away. But then it's weird because he shines his light on the wall and it says the walls of number 2. So it's like you're several streets away and you're just on number 2. The Dursleys live on number 4.
Right, yeah. It's like you could probably still hear Aunt Marge screaming from where you are.
Yeah, right, come on.
How many houses are in this neighborhood?
But what is kind of funny here is that, like, in this particular moment, he is casting a spell, and again, in a way that the ministry is not cracking down on, but then by the time year five comes around, like, you can see that huge perspective shift from the Ministry of Magic in terms of, like, how they feel about magic being performed by Harry in this same location, because this is where the Dementors attack.
This whole scene is, happens almost again in book five.
Right.
And it is so, it's so funny how different it is, because this time Harry is like, he senses something, but like the perceived danger is not real and he's actually very safe. And like the ministry is looking for him and like they don't even care that he does magic.
Right.
And then you fast forward to book five and it's like the danger is extremely real and the ministry themselves sent it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
They're trying to punish him for this magic.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. It's definitely like
a
we're
lot
getting
of changes.
Like seriously mirrored. Ha.
Serious.
And he gives him a mirror. It's a double pun if you think about it hard enough.
There you go. I also think, I don't know, what do you think about this? It says his leg hit, he's about to call the night bus, and it says his leg hit the trunk and he tripped. His wand flew out of his hand as he flung his arm back. So it's like, even this, it's like Sirius in a way like disarms him, which is like Harry's signature move.
Oh, sure.
You know? It's like, that's another like, is that another little like hint that like, oh, that's a good guy.
That's a good guy.
Right.
Like you think the idea... So, is it the case... Okay, let's see here.
I don't think he, like, does any magic at him. It's just sort of, like, what happens.
Well, there's nothing... Okay, his legs hit his trunk, and he tripped. His wand flew out of his hand as he flung out an arm to break his fall. Okay, so it's not like the wand just goes rocketing out of his hand out of nowhere. Okay.
But it's, like, the same effect as Expelliarmus.
You're right. Yeah. Yep, that's absolutely true. Now, what I do think is really interesting about this is that this particular action does bring me to one of my favorite theories that we have inside of the Night Bus chapter, which is like, this is the methodology that is used to summon the Night Bus. And it feels like lucky that this happens.
That it happens that he's just like, whoop.
Right. It's like, what, why? Okay. That was like, you know, turns out you calling, like you're falling also calls for help.
Well, cause I think it's that you have to stick your wand out on the curb.
Yes. But why is that so like vital? Why that specifically?
I don't know. I guess it, like when you call a bus, you're on the curb.
No. Yeah. Sorry. I was trying to set you up there.
Okay.
So this is our belief. This goes back to our belief inside of the theory that the night bus itself could potentially be a transformed Zowu.
A Zowu.
Yeah. Yes. So if we've seen the Crimes of Grindelwald movie, we know there's the very large, like lion-like creature that is uniquely capable of jumping through space and time.
Right. It can like teleport around.
Yes.
But in the meantime, it can also run like thousands of miles a day.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So it can travel and cover a huge amount of space and time. And this I think is potentially like what makes the Night Bus so incredibly unique, because taming a Zowu in the first place is like incredibly difficult. And Newt even leaves it out of Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Him.
Right.
But inside of the movie Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Him, we see him interacting with the Zowu, and the way in which he tames it is by holding out a little stick.
A little stick.
And giving it a little jingle.
A little shake.
And so
goes
it was
right
like,
for it.
Right. Yeah. And so it's like the idea that this is the methodology for summoning the Night Bus, I feel like doubles down so much on this idea that it's like you hold it out, you give it a little
hold
jiggle, there you go.
There you go.
The Night
Pops
Bus
right
like,
to you.
Yo, what up?
I feel like it also helps explain, if it's a transformed Zowu, why the Night Bus can teleport but also has to drive. Right?
Sure.
Like if the bus can teleport, why does it need to drive?
Yes.
Why aren't you just there?
Well, and even that is sort of fascinating. We're going to come to it here in just a second from Stan Shumpike, because he like tells them where they were.
Yeah.
Like, where are we? You know, somewhere in Wales? It's like, that's where we were when you hailed us. And it's like how, if you can just magically appear anywhere else to pick up your passenger, then it doesn't really seem like driving is all of that
Can't
essential.
Can't you just magically appear where they need to go?
Yes, yeah, right. It's like this middle ground area doesn't feel wholly necessary, unless there are limitations to the magic, and the limitations are rooted to the beast.
Yeah, exactly. It would also explain why there's only just the one night bus, and not like a lead. Because otherwise, you have one night bus for like the entire like Great Island of Great Britain.
Right.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Doesn't seem like enough.
It seems a little too lacking. Which yeah. otherwise, fun fact is that there are actual night buses in London.
Yeah,
that like patrol in the middle of the night. So yeah.
So that's the play on words there. And then it's also spelled with the K. It's supposed to be like a knight in shining armor that rescues the stranded wizard.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. So, very clever.
I guess you didn't know that. So there you go. So anyway, Harry throws out his arm and bang, the night bus shows up. Leads to just one of the best interactions ever between Stan and Harry.
Yes.
Yes. Absolutely love it. I do love that Stan steps out and immediately says, "Welcome to the night bus emergency transport for the stranded witch or wizard. Just stick out your wand hand, step on board. We can take you anywhere." It's like, yeah, clearly anyone who summoned you knows that. Like, you don't need to explain that.
Right. Yes, but maybe it's part of the shtick.
Yeah.
Because it does. I think that, like, he says this, like, proudly. And it's like, I'm like, man, Stan really does have, like, he's rather pleased with his position here on the night bus.
Oh, yeah, he's very proud of it.
Yeah, which is also kind of interesting because, like, it says, close up, he saw that Stan Sean Pike was only a few years older than he was, 18 or 19 at most. This is sort of interesting because it almost means that if Stan went to Hogwarts, then they would have been at school together.
I know. It's like, either he's, like, actually, like, 20 and missed Harry by a year.
Right.
Or if he's 18 or 19, then he was just at school with Harry. And you might be like, well, would he even notice Harry? And it's like, yeah, everyone noticed Harry.
He would definitely
yeah,
notice
he
Harry.
Would notice him.
Yeah.
It's like, he would recognize him for sure, which otherwise means that he just didn't go to Hogwarts.
Right.
And he's just,
right.
like, a wizard.
So maybe
just
he just
like
picked, up, he picked up the bus trade school.
Just pick up that bus? Yeah.
Route.
To bus school.
Bus school?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did it look like he went to bus school?
Is that a How I Met Your Mother joke?
It was. You were supposed to say, it did.
It did, now that you mention it. Oh, man. So Harry falls down upon the night bus showing up, and Stan can't believe it.
What you fell over for?
What you fell over? Did do it on purpose.
So the fun fact here is that when we went to Universal, they, of course, have the night bus out there. And there's a Stan Sean Pike who, like, mans the station. And I was like, can I ask you if we can do a thing?
Yeah.
And he was like, okay. I was like, I'm going to lay on the ground.
Yeah.
And you're going to say...
you're going to say a thing.
She fell over for. Oh. And then
he was
really confused. He was like, okay.
Okay. But then we'd also we did like a movie meetup for that one, so there was just a bunch of other SCB people around in the park that day.
So they all
and they all kept coming up to Stan that day, asking him to do this same bit.
He's like,
why do people keep asking me this?
I am definitely being punked.
Yeah, that was kind of funny. Harry, you know, tries to collect his bearings, remembers that he saw Sirius, or a big black thing, like a dog, but massive. Do you know what kind of dog Sirius is?
He, in the movies, I believe he's an Irish wolfhound.
Yeah.
Is that correct? Big. Does anybody fact check? Yeah. Yeah.
I can't believe they never bring up the breed in the books, but I think that must just be the actual breed.
Yeah, maybe so. Yeah, because they're
huge.
Quite big dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big dogs. So Harry, not keen to give his position away to the Ministry of Magic for fear of being arrested for casting Lumos, lies to Stan. Yeah, right. What are you here for? Like, oh, I tortured the long bottoms. I turned on a flashlight. Word.
Word.
Yeah.
Jail for life.
Jail, straight to jail, yeah. Right? So, but Harry lies about who he is and says he's Neville, which, I mean, it's kind of interesting that he chooses Neville of all people. It's like the other possible chosen one.
The other candidate, really,
yeah.
So it is kind of funny that is the name that he immediately jumps for, because it would, in a different universe, Neville's name is the one, like, maybe in a different universe, Neville is, like, saying Harry Potter in this moment,
yeah.
You know?
Yes. What if Neville was the chosen one?
What if? I don't know, yeah.
What if?
If only somebody on the internet would make a really lengthy series about that.
If only.
Please subscribe.
He probably becomes best friends with Harry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, how special.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Neville now on the bus, but I actually do think it's funny because just before he says Neville, Stan does say, "What's that on your head?" And that's like, it's like Stan does seem to mark him and is kind of like, "Hey, wait a second."
Yeah. Well, even when he finally figures out it is Harry, he's like, "I knew it."
I know.
I
yeah.
Knew
yeah.
It.
But he commits to the Neville bit like so well.
Right. He's, you know, like, I'm pretty sure that's Harry Potter, but he said he was Neville, so.
We're sticking with it.
We're going with it. The customer's always right. Good for you, Stan.
Yeah.
All right.
You can only learn that in bus school.
Yeah. That's what they teach you at bus school.
Yeah.
Yeah. For sure. So Stan doing his thing, gives him the pitch, upsells him on the hot chocolate and I guess the toothbrush.
Yep.
Yeah.
What color do you think he goes for?
Harry? Red?
Red?
Yeah, like Gryffindor. Oh, Scarlet. Yeah.
I was thinking green, like his eyes.
Like his eyes, sure. Yeah.
But anyway, red's fine. That's an answer. Yeah.
You know, I'm sure a green toothbrush is really popular in the Gryffindor common room.
When you say it like that.
Yeah. It's a good, right? It's a good. There's a random little tiny like correction that happens in this chapter where if you like read the old ones, when Harry pays for them, he pays for it with gold, even though it only costs, 15 sickles total. But in our present copies of the books, they've switched it to silver, so it's more like Harry pays appropriately.
I know, yeah. This is funny because so I listened to the story in addition to reading it each time via Jim Dale, and so as I was reading this through, I was like, wait a second, he said gold,
yeah,
not silver. Yeah, so one of those like little modification things. I do always kind of love those.
Oh, though. I know. It's like, change!
Change, yeah. And I also think that'll be so cool for people who bought the books early. Because like you could, that's like a fun one to go through and like mark in your own copies and be like, I have a gold one.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Every time you get a new edition, just compare it to all of your old editions.
Yeah, exactly.
Figure out what they changed.
Word by word.
Word by word.
Or just continue to listen to this podcast because we'll do it for you.
Yeah. There you go. There you go. So Harry inspects the rest of it, sees some other people are sleeping on the bus already. One guy is sleeping, says, no thanks, in his dreams, says, not now, thanks, I'm pickling some slugs, which I'm like, gross.
Yikes.
What on earth could that be useful for?
A delicious snack?
You want some pickled slugs?
Some pickled slugs sounds miserable.
Yeah.
Just about any way you slice it.
Yeah. Or pickle it.
Or pickle it.
Yeah. He meets Ernie Prang, which is...
Who's the driver.
Who's the driver here. And then, bang, they're back off. So right off Privet Drive, back into Wales.
Yes, right back away. Back into Wales. One thing I want to say about this, though, is one of the decisions they made for the film is the inclusion of like the like kind of like shrunken head.
Oh, yeah.
Did anybody else find that to be odd? Like an odd choice?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Take it away,
Take it away, Ern! There we go.
But now we can say that.
They also make the reverse decision in the movies of making the bus transform around and stuff.
Oh,
so
yes.
So it doesn't hit stuff, whereas in the books, the bus just barrels along wherever it wants, and stuff just jumps out of its way.
Right.
Yeah. Well, this is like a kind of magic that is just never seen anywhere else. Well, and it's like, does it mean, because they're like driving along and like barns are jumping out of the way and light posts and benches. And it's like, does that mean everything is kind of magical? Or does it mean that like the night bus has like a force field thing around it or something?
Or yeah, maybe magic is just like the force and it like lives in everything. Yeah.
Exactly though.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Maybe that can be like the plot of the Harry Potter sequel series that I was pitching you in the back. H.J. Potter.
H.J. Potter.
H.J. Potter.
The detective series. Yeah.
Yeah. Detective series. But he slowly learns how to summon the Force.
Just all wandless magic in this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. So Stan also explains that the reason Muggles don't notice the night bus at all is because they don't listen properly or look properly. Which is just like, you know what? Give us some credit, right? I think we would notice the giant purple bus.
But how sad would it be if we're just missing it?
It'd just be sad.
It could have zipped through this room.
Just right now.
Right as we sit here.
I know.
And we all just jumped out of the way.
And we're like, that was weird.
That was weird.
We didn't even say it.
But we don't even remember.
We don't even remember it. Do you guys remember that? Well, it happened. Yeah,
exactly. That guy gets it.
I know. That guy does get it. This is my constant concern with the Wizarding World, that I'm constantly discovering it, and then they're just erasing it.
I know. That would be the worst.
That would be the worst.
It would be just a little bit sad.
Through the Gryffindor is sponsored by Shopify. Okay, so story time. Since the day that I met my wife, Alice, she has been all about secondhand clothing. So 2 years ago, we decided to take that idea and run with it and open a business called Nude. It's like the past tense of new because it's not really old, but you know, nude. Old is the new nude. You get it. Anyway, we'd both been in business, but she was hung up on how to start selling online. But fortunately, I had experience with Shopify, and to tell you that we got started in no time is a straight up understatement. We were busy being brand new parents to a 6 month old. We both have other jobs, and within 2 weeks of idea conception, we had the website up and running. So if you're on the fence, whether it's in the like launch your online shop stage to the first real store stage all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Plus, even if you do have questions, Shopify's award-winning help is there to help support your success every step of the way. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/griffin. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/griffin now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/griffin.
Y'all, tour season is upon us, which makes me so ridiculously happy for today's sponsor, Pair Eyewear. So the big thing about being on tour is that we absolutely want to look and feel our best. To be 100%, we're giving y'all a solid performance. Like, my wife has literally been putting together outfit Google Docs and like going through them with me, like, I think you should get this. And I'm like, okay, you probably know better than me. But personally, for me, this also means revisiting my face. Like, I've opted for a mustache, in case you haven't noticed, but also some fresh specs thanks to Pair Eyewear. Y'all can't even believe what a fun experience this is from top to bottom, from the online interface to putting the frames on your face. Here's how it works. You just pick a base set of frames, which are gorgeous on their own, but then they also have like the tops, which magnetically snap right onto the frame in just like seriously the most satisfying way. Like, you feel so cool doing it, and it allows for endless customization. And the options are incredible. But today I want to tell you about the Star Wars collection that they have just dropped. They've got 21 different designs. So whether you're embracing your inner light or dark side, or want to split the difference with some fresh Mandalorian frames, you can. Like, seriously, the best part is once you've got your base frames, you can just add new tops at any time, starting at just $25. So one pair, infinite possibilities. Go to PairEyewear.com and use code Griffin for 15% off your first pair, and support the show by mentioning that Through the Griffin Door sent you in your post-checkout survey. That's PairEyewear.com, code Griffin.
A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.
Right.
So what I do think is also interesting about this as well is that it seems like the night bus doesn't really travel in a very linear fashion at all.
Doesn't need to.
They've got Madame Marsh on the bus.
Who shows up again later.
Yeah.
That's frequenter.
A frequenter of the Knight bus where they are. I'm sure I'm going to butcher this. Abergavenny. Was I closer the second time? Yeah, we'll take it.
Abergavenny.
Yeah, of course.
There you go.
Rolls right off the tongue. But then the other two places that they go also start with the letter A, and they're not like perfectly in alphabetical order, but it's almost like, are we going with the A locations first?
It does seem like it.
Yeah.
They don't even ask Harry where he's going until he's like the last person on the bus.
Yeah, maybe Stan just wants to hang with Neville.
Yeah, basically, right.
Did we just become best friends?
Yeah, he's like, all right, this guy, this Neville guy, he seems great.
He does talk to him and only him basically the whole time, despite the fact they've got...
Harry's reading the paper over his shoulder. He's like, what's that?
What's that?
What's that? What's Sirius Black?
Who's that guy?
He was the Muggle News.
Yeah.
Yeah, so thank goodness for Stan to like explain everything to Starry here. To Harry here. To Starry. My goodness, I can't talk at all. All right. There's an interesting line. So Harry sees the large photograph of the sunken-faced man with long matted hair, blinks slowly at Harry from the front page. He looked strangely familiar. And I really love that line because either it's talking about Harry seeing him on the Dursleys' TV, or it's Harry remembering him vaguely from, like, infancy.
Oh,
I know. That's what I think it is. I'm going with that.
That
or
hurt.
Yes, the other thing is he's looking at the eyes as well, and says it's the only part of him that looks alive, which is crazy because it's like he's seen Sirius. It's like that's the only part he's seen. It's like he's seen Sirius's eyes like twice in like the last 10 minutes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. In dog form and now in newsprint.
So the eyes. That's such a good point. Yeah. I love that. Okay. Okay. So yeah, I like to think that it's less. I mean, he does say that that's the man from the Muggle News, but I still like to think that this is more of like Harry registering him like on a different level.
Yeah.
But then the other more like obvious version of it was the Muggle News.
Right.
Then we finally get mention first and last name of Sirius Black, which
yes.
this is kind of an interesting point. Because in chapter one, when they're watching the Muggle News, it just says that Black is like abroad and believed to be highly dangerous. But we don't get the full name Sirius Black, which like if you're reading these books in real time, like that's like one of those things where we don't quite know how much like continuity there's going to be or the fact that this is a character's name we've already seen on page before. So like I would be really fascinated to know like if any eagle-eyed viewers back in like, you know, the year 2000 or whatever, where it was like, wait a second,
Sirius Black.
Yeah, because it would have been chapter one, Philosopher's Stone, since we've last seen it.
Right, yeah. At that point, you're not like taking it too seriously. There's
right.
so many new things to learn about.
Right, but that would be a detail that would then lead you to be
it's the same trick that's used in the last book where you learn like Tom Marvolo Riddle's full name, but only in pieces and far apart. You never see it all written together.
Right. Lest your mind start to like de-scramble.
Yeah, to be like, wait a second, there's a lot of Voldemort sounds in there.
Yeah.
What's
interesting then, though, so Harry finally gets like a big exposition dump. Black still at large. Sirius Black, possibly the most infamous prisoner ever to be held at Azkaban Fortress. It's like, this is a detail where it's kind of odd about why, like, I mean, Sirius is believed to have, with one spell, blown up a city block, 12 muggles, and a wizard.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that is pretty horrendous to be associated with, for sure. But, like, also, like, before that, though, he was otherwise a excellent student in school who was highly popular and well-liked. He's always been, like, a good guy and, like, friends to other people, especially, like, specifically friends to the Potters.
Yeah.
So it's almost like curious to me if any amount of like the turn against him or even the lack of information is like the ministry very specifically trying to like drum up the associated danger, because otherwise like Bellatrix, Barty Crouch Jr., Dalahov, like there are plenty of other Death Eaters who are in Azkaban who seem like they have a much worse track record.
Who would have been like maybe like well-known Death Eaters, because their like Reign of Terror would have been public the whole time.
Right. Like Sirius is involved.
Sirius, like his identity as a Death Eater would have come out the same day or the day after Voldemort fell.
Right.
For one crime. I don't even know. It doesn't seem like people know he betrayed the Potters. Per se.
I guess maybe
like,
maybe
because there's that whole story later on, and like Rosmerta doesn't know about it, you know.
But Fudge does.
Well, Fudge does. But he was there. He was there, part of the arresting team that gets Sirius.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. So. Okay. So, anyway, though. So, yeah. So, now we're starting to get, like, a bit more information about what's going on. We learned that Fudge has been criticized by some members of the International Federation of Warlocks for informing the Muggle Prime Minister of the crisis, which is just a kind of an interesting detail, because I think at the beginning of Half-Blood Prince, we get like called back to that because we have like the other minister chapter.
Get that. But what's interesting too is that it says the International Federation of Warlocks, but like I believe that is the same organization as the International Federation of Wizards.
Okay.
Right? And the chief Wizzmagot of said organization
is supposed to be Dumbledore.
Is Dumbledore.
Yeah.
So does that mean Dumbledore is the one criticizing him for doing this?
That's
because they're not on great terms much after this.
Yeah, they're not. Not so much. I don't hate it.
Just saying, it's right there, you know. But it's that also seems like a weird move for Dumbledore.
Because
is under the impression that Sirius is guilty and dangerous.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. So then we're learning a little bit more about what's going on with the Muggles have been told. I think it's just kind of like a funny description, but it said, while Muggles have been told that Black is carrying a gun, a kind of metal wand that Muggles use to kill each other.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
The other thing, though, this is another one. He says, I have the Prime Minister's assurance that he will not breathe a word of Black's true identity to anyone. And let's face it, who'd believe him if he did? Which I'm like, what do you mean? Isn't your whole job making sure people don't find out about magic?
Exactly. Yeah, who'd believe him? It's like, you guys, your number one policy is the statute of secrecy.
Right.
It is a constant problem for everyone.
Right. If you don't think people would believe magic, like, you're like, no one can ever find out. It's like, but we can do it in front of them. They won't even believe it.
Yeah,
it's fine.
It'll be fine.
They're determined that it's not real.
Right.
That's sort of just a funny... It's just Fudge, like, flustering around, as usual. But he does actually say that to the Prime Minister. I think he says, like... Or when he first meets him, he's like, wait, you're a wizard? You know, what are you doing? And he's like, are you... He's not, like, concerned that the Prime Minister is going to tell anyone about wizards at all. He's like, are you going to tell anyone about this?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, that is what he said to him. It's kind of like a fun little callback as well.
It is.
Yep. Let's see. Then this is where Harry looks into the shadowed eyes of Sirius Black, which, again, is, like, for the second time in, like, 10 minutes. Let's see. I think this is like a random thing. Harry had never met a vampire, but had seen pictures of them in his Defense Against the Dark Arts classes, which I'm like, you mean like Voyages with Vampires? Did you read the book?
Was Harry reading Lockhart?
Harry was reading Lockhart.
Well, I'll be.
There it is.
Turns out he was a little bit of a fan after.
Turns out, yeah, he did it. He did it. Come on. We know what vampire book you have, Harry.
When Harry's at school, he like pulls out like Lumos under the covers, and he's reading Lockhart's tales.
I know, like, he's just like, boy, I know it wasn't him, but these are crazy. These are really good
this
stories.
This is good stuff.
Who was this guy?
Yeah. I love that.
Oh man, that's super fun. So Stan continues to fill him in with all of the incorrect gossip that Black was a big supporter of you-know-who. Harry slips and says Voldemort. Everyone almost freaks out and crashes into a barn.
Yeah.
You had your tree.
You out of your tree.
Yeah.
Yelp Stan. What'd you say his name for? Sorry, said Harry hastily. Sorry, I forgot.
Forgot! Oh, man. And then you get the crazy description of the crime where you learn about the crazy laughing that Sirius does after the ministry takes him. And you're supposed to think he's, like, lost his mind and just gone crazy. And it's like, I guess what he's laughing about, what do you think he's laughing about? I guess that, well.
I mean, it always comes across as, like, very intentionally misleading, you know, so that it's like, it seems like he's just, like a lunatic.
Right,
you know?
Yeah, like he just killed all these people, and he's like,
yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is always like one of those things. It's like, why would he laugh? Is it just like he's just so absolutely upset at like the loss?
To me, he is just like, he's laughing at himself at how much Peter has hoodwinked like him.
Okay.
That, like, he is just like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. Like,
you're like, you got me.
You got me. It was me. I messed up. I trusted you. I shouldn't have done it. It's the hilarity of it all. I guess he's a little bit going. Maybe it is a little craziness, but.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is that it's like, maybe in that moment, it's like, he is losing it. Like,
yeah.
I mean, because like his whole world just came unraveled.
Right, yeah.
So.
To him, yeah, it was definitely his own fault. But this is also, so when Stan is telling him, though, he says, Black took out his wand and he blasted half the street apart, and a wizard got it, and so did a dozen muggles. And like that, the wizard got it. That is the first mention of Pettigrew outside of Scabbers.
Right. So that's the real question. Is there any version of reading this story where you're like, wait a second, a wizard was there?
Right.
Yeah. Who is he dueling?
Yeah, I know. Did anyone read that the first time when they're like, that's going to be important?
Right.
That guy, whoever that was, we need to figure that out.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, you'd have to be so dialed in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I'm going to jump back here as well.
Okay, what do you got?
The description of Sirius as the most infamous prisoner ever to be held in Azkaban Fortress, this is like, just not about Sirius, and I guess that's true, but like, why isn't Grindelwald held at Azkaban Fortress, you know? Why does he get a separate prison just for himself with no Dementors?
Especially a prison that he built.
Especially a prison that he built for other people.
Dumbledore, Jay.
Dumbledore. Yeah.
Dumbledore.
Anyway,
had to be.
That's all.
What else could it be?
I know. Never been a breakout from Azkaban before. Fudge is going to go ahead and make some contradictory statements about this later on. He's going to be like, oh, the Azkaban gods have never failed before. Like, at what? catching escape prisoners. I thought that never happened before.
It's like, I thought this is, yeah, what, yeah. If they've never failed, it's because they've never tried.
Right, yeah. It sounds like they failed pretty hard right now.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And then this is also when we start getting, this is where Stan and Urn first mention the Azkaban gods.
Yes.
Where we're like, well, they'll be the Dementors will be called Azkaban guards right up until they're called Dementors and then never again.
And then always Dementors.
And then always Dementors ever. From yeah. there on out. Yeah, so that's always like a, I don't know why everyone wouldn't just say Dementors the whole time.
Right. It's like, it's not like the name reveal is sort of like a giant momentous occasion because we've never heard the word before.
Right.
So it's not like, those are Dementors, and we're all like,
oh, it's like no maybe way. The name makes them sound so immediately evil that you should be like, it's like maybe another hint right away that like, yeah, Sirius isn't going to be the bad guy here.
Right.
I wonder who's bad, the Sirius Black or the Dementors.
The Dementors.
Yeah.
It sounds a lot like Demented.
It sounds like Demented. Yeah, you know? They sound pretty rough. Right. Of course, even after they're introduced, you're like, yep, okay, cool. They got to get him. I hope they get him.
Yeah. But yeah, then when Harry is then learning more about Azkaban Prison, it brings up the fact that Hagrid, the Hogwarts gamekeeper, had spent 2 months there only last year. This is kind of like an interesting, like another little nod because similar to Sirius, Hagrid is also like innocent of the crime that he is accused.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be like another little nod to sort of like, you know, being kept incorrectly.
Oh, yeah. Yep. All sorts of little setups happening here.
Yes.
I love how it says, after a while, Stan remembered that Harry had paid for the hot chocolate. Just like, oh, there you go. Harry did it. He totally got upsold on the hot chocolate.
He totally did.
Yeah. I feel like he just handed himself and Stan's like, great, cool. You want that toothbrush? I'm on it. Let's get it. I'll get that later. Here's the hot chocolate, which then he pours it all over his Harry's pillow. I guess he can't lay down.
Yeah, that's too bad. Yeah,
too bad. Oh boy. That's like, what would be more surprising. Harry was like, well, this is what a fantastic turn of events. I guess I'll take a nap.
I got my hot chocolate. I'm
got
so
my
cozy.
Hot chocolate. This was great.
I'm on a bus that's rocketing through the countryside.
I know. They'll never find me now. Oh man. Let's see. I also think it's funny that not a single other person gets on the bus. It seems like wizard after wizard gets off the bus, all in dressing gowns and slippers. Like, how many people were just like out in their pajamas?
Traveling the night bus by night.
Yeah, needing the night bus here.
I know. Although, I will say, this is how it feels like every single time I get in line for anything ever. It's like, I'll get in line, and then it's like, nobody gets in line behind
me.
And I'm like,
yeah.
What is up with that?
I know. It's like,
was I the last one here?
Right. There's 40 people in this line.
And I'm in last.
And no one else.
And no one else.
Yeah. What's happening? Yeah, so no one else gets on. So finally, Harry is the last passenger left. And finally, they're like, oh yeah, where are you going? Leaky Cauldron got it. That's the other thing. All these people get off, not a single other person was going to London.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That also seems odd.
Yeah. Also does seem odd.
Popular place to go.
Does seem.
But so they do finally arrive, and sure enough, waiting for Harry at the Leaky Cauldron, kind of luckily, in fact, is Cornelius Fudge. There you are, Harry, said a voice. And he basically comes forward, and then Stan is sort of like, what'd you call Neville, Minister? He said excitedly. Neville, he repeated, frowning. This is Harry Potter.
Yeah.
I knew it, Stan shouted gleefully. Urn, guess who Neville is? He's Harry Potter. I can see his scar. It's like, he is still calling him Neville.
I know. Even now. He also has just like no preamble about like approaching like the president of magic.
Right, right.
Like, what you call him? You said the wrong name. Like, your first words to the minister are correcting him.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, this is Neville Longbottom, actually. It's like, no, it's not, sir. Let's see. I don't know why he says, Fudge just says, I'm very glad the night bus picked Harry up. And I'm like, I don't know why it seems weird to me that Fudge even knows about the night bus. But I don't know. I guess he does. Clearly, it's like a government service.
It doesn't feel like it. I mean,
yeah,
bus school, Jay. It's got its own ecosystem.
I know, right?
But it doesn't seem like Fudge would travel by such methodology.
No. No, it does not. But let's see. Then we get inside the bar. We got Tom, the barman, which I highlighted Tom, the barman, because I know this comes up later, just where, like, It's so interesting that Tom's like he's like the first person Harry sees inside of the Wizarding World at all.
Yes.
And it's like that must have been such a plant because it is like one of Voldemort's like peeves.
Yes.
That he's just like there's a lot of Toms.
There's a lot like right at the front door to wizard life.
Exactly. The front door to wizard life. Because it's the first person he meets outside of Dumbledore too. Dumbledore's like, go to the Leaky Cauldron, there'll be a man named Tom, and he's like, what? No.
I'm changing my name.
Yeah, come on. I've been in this world for 3 seconds and there's another time. I know three wizards now. Tom, Albus, and Tom. Yeah.
Oh, poor Tom.
Poor, well.
Actually, not really.
Not really. Not really. Meanwhile, Stan cannot let it go. How come you didn't tell us who you are, Neville? Like, dude, so nosy. Still calling him Neville.
He does it one more time.
He does it again. Yeah.
Harry sort of has like an awkward like, bye.
Yeah.
Bye, Neville. Called Stan.
Bye, Neville. Oh, Stan.
I love the commitment. But that is what makes me think, you know, he must have been really dialed in there.
Yeah.
Let's see here. So then once we're inside, we're going to have like a very different kind. Cornelius Fudge will introduce himself. And he's clearly taking like quite the different tact. Like, he definitely is very worried about Harry, which, of course, is not really what Harry expects.
Right.
And is really not how the Ministry handles things in the future as well.
No, yeah.
So, which is much
more... Nor how they've handled things in the past.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
So, this is a rather unique circumstance, which could be another one of those things that would sort of, like, start to lead you down the path that, you know... Because he even says, like, given the certain circumstances, the present climate... Yeah, like, that's clearly impacting things, which kind of lets you know that, like, okay, something to do with Sirius being escaped has something to do with Harry in particular.
Yeah. It's kind of funny, too. He says, I don't mind telling you, running away from Ron and Uncle's house like that, I'd started to think... But you're safe. But it's like, clearly what he'd started to think was that Sirius found him. And it's like, well... He did.
Yeah. He was right.
You were
there.
Right. Also, boy, I'd be so mad if I was Harry. Well, I mean, I guess he gets cleared of the crime. But like Fudge, like he says, don't worry. We you know, punctured your aunt, which seems like the funny way to get the air out of her. Like you can't just magically just be like, let's just go ahead and deflate you. They're like, that guy to like. Pfft.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, you know. But you guys are wizards, but we also have a large safety pin. Yeah,
exactly. That makes it so much better. But then he says, her memory has been modified. She has no recollection of the incident at all. So that's that. No harm done. And then one sentence later, he's like, you're worrying about the reaction of your aunt and uncle. Well, I won't deny, they're extremely angry. Like, well, why couldn't you erase their memory, too?
You were already there.
Like, you were there.
No second trip necessary.
No second trip. Like, come on. Like, I'd be like, you couldn't. You just wipe it. Just, come on.
Yeah,
it'd make a lot easier for me.
Yes. Yeah. Also, I'm kind of bummed that Aunt Marge doesn't know that this happened to her.
Oh, I know. Yeah. She's like, why do I have this giant safety pin? Where did this come from?
Okay, maybe I don't hate that. Now she's just confused for the rest of her
confused.
Life.
She's confused, yeah.
What happened?
I don't know.
but so then, basically then, as we start moving forward... Fudge is basically like, now that all that remains is figuring out where you're going to spend the last 3 weeks of your vacation. This is another one of those moments where it is normally 2 weeks of your vacation. But
older copies of the book will say two.
Yes. Yeah. And it's like, it actually is kind of interesting because when you go back and look at the timing, it's like Harry's birthday and then Aunt Marge arrives the next day and is there for 1 week. And we know we go back to Hogwarts on September 1st. So like we were... missing a week.
So the
correction is correct.
It is accurate, yeah.
Which makes sense.
Yep. Yeah.
It would be worse if the correction was wrong.
Yeah. Also, yeah. It would be like, inaccurate.
Inaccurate.
Put it down. Fudge is explaining all this to him, and Harry just pulls just the most random thing. Hang on, what about my punishment? He's like, well, gee, don't forget to ask about extra homework either, Harry.
Yeah.
Okay. So, come on, man. Like, let it go.
Right.
Yeah.
And then Fudge is like, we're just going to let that go.
Yeah.
It's going to be fine.
Yeah. We don't send people to Azkaban just for blowing up their aunts.
Only for crashing puddings.
Exactly.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yes. Mm-mm. Especially if you didn't do it.
Especially if you didn't do it. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. So he starts explaining all of that to him about the pudding and everything. I guess it's sort of weird where, like, Harry eventually asks him if he's had any luck tracking down Black, and Fudge is like, oh, you've heard about that, have you? It's like, yes? He seems really confused that Harry would have heard about it, even though he knows it was on the Muggle news because he did it.
Right.
And, like, every wizard knows about it. So,
yes, it's, yeah. It is everywhere.
Yeah.
How would we not know?
How would he not know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, surprising that he's surprised
right.
By that. He says, this is the... yeah. It is surprising to me that... Oh, there's a... Okay. So, Harry has the bright idea to be like, oh... While you're handing out favors, would you mind signing my permission slip to go to Hogsmeade? And
rules are rules.
Rules are rules.
We can't just go breaking and bending them.
I know. This is the most like Fudge, hypocritical, just blustering thing ever. He's just like, no, I'm sorry.
It's almost like he doesn't have a plan.
It's like he doesn't have a plan. Rules are rules. I can't let you go visiting the village. In the meantime, if you'd like to stay by yourself in this village for 3 weeks, as long as you promise not to wander into the Muggle world.
Yeah. Yeah, you're probably safest at the most central place in all of the wizarding world.
Right,
yeah.
You're going to be needing your school supplies, right? This Hogwarts starts on the same day every year. Sirius yeah. Black knows that. Cool.
Right, yeah.
Right.
There's no way he'll be able to put two and two together.
No way he yeah. can figure that out. Should we, Dementors, here? Nah.
We'll wait till the train. Yeah.
We'll wait till the train. The train picks you up. That's where he's going to strike.
Right.
Not
right.
leading up to that.
We also, yeah, no warning about those either at all. They're just going to, like, stop the
they're
train
They're just
going to
show up, yeah.
Be
yeah.
super scary.
It is going to be bad, yeah.
Let me tell you what you're going to experience.
Yeah, yep. It's going to be good. So, yeah, Fudge, just so hypocritical here. Rules are rules. Except the other ones I just meant for you.
It's yes.
It's fine. Good. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, but they go in the room. I do like the fact that Hedwig is waiting for Harry
yes.
there. So it's like there is like a friendly face. And Tom does say, very smart owl you've got there, which of course we know because
yes.
Hedwig is the best.
And this Hedwig's had a great three chapters. She also like showed up at Hermione's just to make sure Harry got a birthday gift.
Yeah.
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 Hedwig is looking out.
Yeah. Hedwig's doing some good stuff here.
R.I.P.
Very nice. Wow.
Mood, jeez, mood killer.
Mood killer. Come sorry, on, man.
I'm sorry.
But though Harry finally decides, or finally gets into his room, number 11 at the Leaky Cauldron, says it's been a very weird night, Hedwig, and then without even removing his glasses, slumped back onto his pillow and fell asleep.
Boom.
Boom. There you go. End of chapter.
End of chapter.
He did it. That is, it is such a crazy chapter. The other, we have had other, what's the other big one? There's a big what if in this chapter. I think it was our first what if ever.
It was, yeah.
It
like,
was.
What, like, what
it
if, was what the, if Sirius had just revealed
yeah.
himself?
What if Sirius, what if the Night Bus doesn't show up?
Yeah.
Like, how does that change the chapter? You
it's
know?
It's rather significant because I think
the
one
story.
Of, yeah, like one of the yeah. biggest things we've like dialed in on whenever we do the what ifs is like Peter Pettigrew escaping is like one of the most important things that happens.
Yeah.
And that all happens because of like the newspaper clipping and there's like
right.
all these like really bizarre like little things. But yeah, it's like you could really change the whole trajectory of the plot massively. Because then it's
yeah.
even like, can somebody just explain it? Is Sirius just free? Can Harry
yeah,
go live
right?
with him?
Can he just go? Can he go? Like it makes you wonder like if they were able to explain it and he was able to get to the Weasleys and be like, that rat right there.
Sirius just kills him.
Sirius, yeah. But I don't even think he would.
He
because,
probably,
yeah. like, Harry could be like, no, because then we can't, like, prove. Right.
Yeah.
But, like, it'd be such a tricky situation because, like, obviously he can't bring Sirius to the Weasleys because they're going to be like, whoa, that guy.
Yes.
Not good. But he also can't bring Sirius to the Weasleys because then Peter's going to be like, oh, God.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, that guy. But then once Harry's at the Weasleys, the ministry's going to be like, whoa, let's get some Dementors here, you know?
Yeah.
Unless, you know, Diagon Alley, I guess I thought that was fine. So maybe not.
Maybe not.
Not.
Yeah.
But then that's bad news for Sirius. It's like, how do we get all the people in the right place at the right time? Yeah.
So many weird little moving
so
parts.
So many weird little moving yeah. parts.
It's a really big one. So the story could have changed rather drastically
could
if it
have.
Hadn't been so lucky for that Zowu acting on Night Bus instincts.
I know, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Whew,
boy, that Curb, really the hero.
It is. It, yeah, just, MVP of the chapter, really.
Right, yeah.
The Curb.
The Curb.
The Curb.
There it is.
Well yep. done. Well done, Curb. All right, Jay, do you have a review for us?
You know what? I don't think I do at the moment.
Okay, maybe we can see if the audience will make some noise for us, and that can be our review.
Oh man,
does that sound good?
That sounds good.
Yeah,
sure.
Do we like that?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
All right, guys, leave us. Can we get a review on three? All right, 1, 2, 3. Can we call that
stars,
five?
Yeah.
Call that five? Okay.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you guys so much.
Gosh,
that was so
that
much
was
fun.
Awesome.
And we're not done.
We're
though.
Not. Well, hold on. We'll close out the podcast real quick here.
Oh
and then
yeah.
We're,
I'm sorry.
We'll,
we have words left to say.
We have other things to say. Yeah. Hold on. So thank you guys all so much for joining us for chapter 3 of Prisoner of Azkaban: The Night Bus. Make sure you tune in next week for chapter 4, The Leaky Cauldron, on Through the Gryffindor.
Bam. Okay.
And we're out.
Today's episode was edited by Ethan Edgehill. Vaishon Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager, and the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.